Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
We're living locally, globally, sportingly, environmentally, every way it seems, in an age of uncertainty. The environmental crisis, the rise of extremism, the housing crisis and war is raging in many parts of the world. And this year, there's an awful lot of elections up for grabs as well. And an awful lot of people commenting about far-right movements as well, gaining electorally. Well, Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD, is back with us today for the final of his four-part series to help us navigate this age of uncertainty. Dr. Paul Dalton, you're very welcome indeed to the programme.
Thank you, Cormac.
You might give us a quick summary for listeners who might have missed some of your previous inputs.
Yeah, so over the last 3 weeks, I've been offering kind of practical strategies to help us find our feet in this age of uncertainty. Something that we can do to kind of get our psychological jobs done at different stages of our life. And I call those the four C's: conversation, control, contentment and compassion. And today we're going to look at compassion, particularly during adulthood, so the kind of 40 to 65 years of age. And as I've been saying over the last couple of weeks, it's a really, really important caveat that compassion, like contentment or any of the other things I've talked about, are skills. They require repetition and commitment and dedication. There is no quick fix. There's no psychological quick fix. And we've been talking, you know, over the last while about this living with uncertainty at certain ages of our life, Cormac. So we talked about the kind of adolescence and forming an identity. We talked about the kind of younger adult establishing intimacy and connection in the world outside the family of origin. And then for the adult kind of proper from 40 to 65, that being a time of what's referred to as generativity. So really my psychological task at that point in my life is to generate something that will outlive me. And then we've been talking about how kind of uncertainty then is getting in the way of us achieving.
And you might be hitting targets as soon as you thought you would and so on. So when you talk about compassion then, are you talking about compassion to other people or yourself? Yeah. And what is compassion?
Yeah. So I'm hoping, Cormac, we can talk a little bit about both. And as we begin to talk about compassion and what's called self-compassion, it's really important to say that this is not what's sometimes referred to as idiot compassion, the kind of soft, kind of fluffy, new age woo-woo. It's compassion is not some sort of naive attempt to get over something or to find closure or simply be present. It's nothing to do with that. The compassion that we're talking about is brave and it's muscular, and it's about turning up to the good, the bad, and the ugly of my life, and learning to stay. Cormac, we did a therapy, a group therapy program in the hospital a number of years ago for cancer patients, and it was called Learning to Stay with a Tender Heart. So we might have a tender heart around a particular life event, but actually maybe developing a tender heart as well. So there's something in compassion that's brave and defiant. And it goes against these tricky brains of ours. These tricky brains of ours are biologically programmed to avoid pain and seek pleasure. Now, there's nothing wrong with pleasure, but when we get stuck into a world of avoiding pain and seeking pleasure, we're in psychological trouble there.
So, Sarah, to be clear, then, are you saying, Paul, that actually what you mean when you talk about compassion is actually to accept and experience pain?
So, Sarah, that's maybe one way to put it, but not as directly as that. But how can we develop the resources and the capacity to turn up to what's happening, to the good, the bad, and the ugly? Now, Sarah, that's no small ask. And there are times in our lives when our situation and our pain or difficulty is actually just too much to turn up to, and we need to turn away for a little while. But one of the things, Sarah, that's become really, really clear over the last few decades in research, in at least in this part of the world, is that when we avoid our pain and difficult emotions, when that becomes a habit, then we're in trouble, because it's like we can't turn down the difficult or the kind of bad emotions without turning down the good ones. There's a kind of an overall, there's an overall dial there.
Okay.
And very quickly, Sarah, very quickly, when we get into avoidance, if you go to see someone like me or a psychotherapist in the community, there's probably two things they're going to talk to you about. Number one is avoidance. And number two, I'd put money on, is compassion. And that relationship that we have with ourselves. Does that make sense?
Okay, and let's talk a little bit then about self-compassion, because that for a lot of people is very, very difficult. You can have huge compassion for your children, for your parents, for your friends, but self-compassion can be very difficult.
I think, Sarah, it's probably one of the most difficult things for some of us to do. We very often develop relationships with ourselves. Now, that might sound a little bit strange. You know, do we have a relationship with ourselves? Well, do you know what? We do. And for a lot of us, that relationship is harsh and critical and quite punitive. And there's loads of reasons for that. Sometimes how we were brought up, sometimes the kind of wider culture. So, Sarah, trying to change the nature of that relationship is a job for life. But it's a fundamental building block. And as I was saying, it doesn't happen overnight. And one of the things here that I find, the kind of images or stories that I find very helpful when I think about this, is it's sometimes referred to as the second arrow. So, if we're going to live and love and get up and work and try to do something in the world, we're going to encounter problems and difficulties. There is no way to avoid pain and disappointment. I'm really sorry, but there is no way to avoid it. What we can work on, and Sarah, this is the self-compassion, this is where self-compassion becomes really alive. What we can work on is the second arrow. So arrow number one, so I'm on my bike day before yesterday going into town, realise halfway there I forgot my phone. So no wallet, no diary, the whole thing. So that's a minor kind of, you know, inconvenience or problem. So that's arrow number one. The second arrow is this conversation that I start with myself on the bike, going, "You're useless. You always do this. Why weren't you ready on time? You're going to be late for everything." So we can't avoid the disappointment and the pain of what it means to be a human being, or the joy and the fun. Okay, we can't avoid them, but we can manage the suffering. And by managing the suffering, I mean watching the second arrow, often the harsh conversations that we have with ourselves.
The reassuring thing is that you say these things are skills that we can practice, and you can start today, and every day you can get better, I suppose. And you talk about conversation, control, contentment and compassion, and people can listen back on the Drive Time page to you, Dr. Paul Dalton, Associate Professor of Psychology at UCD. This is the last in the four-part series. I know people have enjoyed it and have benefited from it. So, Dr. Paul Dalton, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.